Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What's going on, guys? This is obviously the MMA episode, but I wanted to let y'all know, if you just clicked on it just because you're wanting to hear something, I'm going to come out with a follow-up on the AI creating disinformation and just leading us all into weird shit instead of, like, you know, potential true things. And I'm not, you know, when I sit here and I say disinformation, I'm not saying it the way that the mainstream news says it, right? Where there's something provable and it just goes against the government narrative, so they're trying to tell you that it's disinformation. This is more like QAnon type stuff, where it's stuff that we might want to believe. We might want to try and, you know, get these people in trouble that are drinking the baby blood and all this stuff. But, you know, some of it just doesn't add up. And then it kind of creates cult-like behavior, right? And I'm not saying that people that support Trump are in a cult, because I would absolutely choose Trump over fucking Biden. But I wanted to let you know, I'm putting that out. It's a fascinating topic. I'm going to attach a file for you guys, too, where you can scroll through and look at the graphics. I'll share the graphics on Patreon, but it's really, really incredible stuff to look into. Talking about cyborgs and bots and all these things controlling a lot of social media. And when I say cyborg, it's not like the shit you see in movies. It's just a mix of like a human and a machine, not a fusion of the two. But I'm out of breath here because I'm running around. I'm trying to do all kinds of shit. I'm going to get that episode out this evening. So if you want to listen to this, run up the views or whatever the hell it is listens, we would appreciate that. This is coming out later than the video. We always post a video for these on YouTube under Alex's little YouTube channel. It's called Profit Picks, P-R-O-P-H-E-T. And you'll see a black little circle logo with a yellow and red Profit Picks. And that's the one you can watch us in all of our glory. Check out the picks. Throw some likes at the guy. Maybe give him a follow. Good stuff. Fun stuff. This is going to be a cool card. A lot of great matchups if you're into MMA. A lot of really small favorites. I think it could be potentially a great betting opportunity for a lot of people. So let's go. There is actually, I think, six picks that the three of us all agree on. So do with that information what you will. I wouldn't go parlaying them all up, but if you like a couple of those picks as well, maybe you can throw some money down on those and you can turn it into a nice little profitable weekend. I'm going to shut up. Just keep in mind the conspiracy content is coming out later this afternoon. Thanks so much. Enjoy Casual KO. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Casual KO. A little tired here. We're going to pick up the energy as the card goes on because your boy's sleepy. Your boy is sleepy over here. But Alex is back this week. We got the full band together here. Jared coming off of a mediocre last card, but it was better than my predictions by one pick. I think he went, 13 or 14 fights last week? You got 8 correct. I got 7 correct. No one, you know, really set the world on fire last week. I heard it was a bloodletting for people out there in the betting world too. Like, everybody just kind of got fucked. How'd you guys end up doing numbers wise? Jared, I'll start with you. How was your betting last week?
Dude, it was the first card in a while I lost money. I usually at least break even, but, it was all going pretty decently up until that robbery in the Dulgarian fight. That was crazy, right? The worst we were looking at there had to have been a draw if you didn't give Dulgarian a 10-8 in the first round. But that killed, you know, that killed a lot of shit for me. And then what was it? The Brian Battle fight, with that being a no contest. At that point, I'm just like, all right, I'm done with this shit. And I lost on Corey McKenna, like, right off the bat. So Yeah, not a great card for me.
Yeah, I ended up pulling the trigger on Amarim, but I know on here I said McKenna, but yeah, just something about it, man. Everybody was on McKenna, and that line wasn't moving too much. So whenever that happens, I like to be on that other side, especially in women's MMA. Alex, how'd you do, man?
I had a feeling Amorin was due for her first finish too, especially against a grappler, but I ended up riding a lot of Jared's picks. I was in a hole, and I got out of the hole on Chelsea Chandler, and felt really confident on that pick, even though it was a sweaty fight, and I really was kind of regretting betting it because she's horrible. She's horrible.
Yeah.
But I had a massive early bet on Kennedy.
Oh.
That was a heartbreaker. And once that loss, I just walked out. I was just like, yeah, I'm done. I'm going to cut my loss. And I beat the line movement, got it at minus 350, went up to minus 700. I parlayed him with Mike Davis. And, you know, it was just a heartbreak. You know, I still think he won the fight. But when all the money's on one side and it's a close fight, you already know where the decision's going to go. And I knew that, right? Going to a decision, I was like, wow, you know, there's no way in hell that Kennedy's going to get this decision after everyone just moved that line 300 points, you know? But we're on to this week. Hopefully we can get back what we lost last week. And, yeah, it's some tough spots. And this is another scary card where a lot of people could get smacked, a lot of close lines. And, yeah, let's see what you guys think. You know, I'm interested in hearing what you guys think about the prelims as well. And I only have a couple spots here that I like.
Yeah. Yeah, man, it's tough. How about Mike Davis, too, dude? That dude is – I mean, I watched his fight. I forget who it was. Thomas something, I think. Arkansas dude. You know, you guys know the name off the top of your head? Who he just murdered in the octagon? Nothing?
No.
I mean, if you go back and you watch this fight, it was fucking disgusting. Let's see. Is he a lightweight? Mike Davis? Let's see. I'm going to find this for you guys real quick. Because
yeah, he's a lightweight.
Thomas Gifford?
Thomas Gifford, yes.
Wow. He's cut.
I know, but dude, go back and watch that fight. It looks like it could have been a murder in the octagon. Like it was so bad. And even Mike Bisping after the first round was like, I don't know why this fight's still going. This dude was just getting boxed up. It was brutal. And then when he finally got knocked out, like this poor guy, man, he goes out there, gets his ass beat for all of 15 minutes almost, right? 14 minutes and like 30 seconds. And then finally when he gets dropped, it looks like his life fucking left his body, man. It was wild. Just the whole time just getting boxed up, drops, hits the ground like a ton of shit. And thank God the dude, you know, actually made it out of there. But holy shit. Mike Davis is a freak, man. Good shit from him. And I mean, it was an entertaining card. I think this one's going to be really entertaining, too. A lot of close lines. I think the biggest favorite is still minus it's under minus 300. So, you know, biggest favorites like minus 200. So those are always fun cards. I think it's good matchmaking here, man. I will say before we start going, go to YouTube, check out the Bare Knuckle Show with Brian Socha. Look at my little segment on there. It's about 15 minutes in on the most recent segment. And we talked some bare knuckle bets, man, covered about four fights on that card. And I would appreciate it if people would go and comment on there because I want to, you know, go on that show more often and, you know, do some shit. Also, Jared, you might appreciate this, dude. You know how I always buy these cards, right? I'm real proud of this one that I found, dude. Guess the price of this old 2016 Dominic Cruz signed.
Oh, wow.
And memorabilia card. Guess the price.
Since you're putting it like that, I know it's going to be like stupid low.
Yeah.
$20?
$12, dude.
Oh, my God. That's unbelievable.
And signed. And in 2016, for those that don't know, Dominic Cruz was the champion, in fact. So, yeah, real fucking happy with that one, man. I'm a nerd with these things, dude. It's fun. It's like the 40-year-old virgin in my office. Toys and freaking...
stock is low.
Huh?
His stock's low right now.
Dominic Cruz?
Yeah, I feel like only active fighters who with a, unless your name's Conor McGregor, active fighters get a lot of
Right.
stock for the memorabilia.
1,000%. But yeah, that's why it's kind of cool to get some of these because it doesn't matter. Like Dominic Cruz is etched in the history books forever. So, I think it's a cool card to have. But yeah, man, let's roll into this card. We've got, as of right now, it looks like, and of course, for some reason, Tapology not numbering the amount of fights. There's 13 or 14 fights as usual on here. And Amanda Ribas getting her first main event. Weird choice. We'll get there when we get there. We're going to cover that one last. We're starting off the night though. I might have mentioned, Jared's going to be going first on all these fights. I'm going to go second. Alex will go last, and we start with Muhammad Usman versus Mick Parkin. Weird matchup. I think it's a good matchmaking, but this could be a snooze fest. Jared, you're up, dude. What do you got?
I don't got much for you, dude. I don't have a strong opinion here at all. I'm more interested to hear what you guys think because I don't think really highly of Usman. I don't really have much of an opinion on Parkin. All I know is he trains with Aspinall, and that's a bit about it. I don't think much of either guy here. I'm just gonna say Parkin by submission, round one. Just throwing darts in the dark, but I don't know. I think you guys might feel I have a little better opinion than me because I couldn't bank on either guy here.
Yeah, I have a feeling that most people are going to be on Parkin, and I think that this is a really close fight. Parkin, that's like his best asset is that he trains with, the greatest heavyweight in the world in Tom Aspinall. I think he's better than John Jones, to be honest, especially at this age. If we go back in time, they fight each other in their primes. John Jones works Tom Aspinall. That's not the case now. Usman finds ways to win, dude. Usman, they call him the motor. I don't know how much of a motor he really is, but he finds ways to win. Yeah, he's taking people like Collier to decision and whatnot, but he finds ways to win. And I think that the UFC wants to build off that Usman name. Parkin, yeah, definitely good at what he does, but I'm not a fan at all. And I'm okay dropping this first fight of the night just by going with an underdog here. I'm going to definitely take Usman. I think that it goes to decision. I think it's sloppy. But if there is a finishing upside, I actually think that it's on Usman's side. It's interesting that you took sub round one, Jared, just because I don't think Parkin's dangerous, man. I know he's 8-0, looking really good on paper here, but I'm Usman all day, and I think it's decision. Alex, where are you at, man?
I'm gonna go the other way. I like Mick Parkin here. I bet Usman in every single one of his UFC fights. Every single one. And I think this is the time where I get off the bandwagon because every single one of those fights he's won, he was losing or had bad. He had bad looks in the fight, whether it be cardio. He's the definition of a sloppy heavyweight fighter as well. Definition. If you open up a dictionary and you look up sloppy, it's his picture right there. And the line being close does have me worried, but Mick, I think, is the rightful favorite. I think he has more ways to win. I think he can win sloppily in the clinch, and I think he can wrestle Usman and get, wet blanket him to a decision. And I like the cardio being younger here. I think if he gets past that first round, Usman's gonna look sloppy, man. And another thing is that we could get that, depending on the ref, we could get that weird stoppage because we know how Usman looks. He gets clipped and then he looks tired and he's sloppy. And I feel like if we get a certain ref in there, we could see if this has definition of a bad stoppage on it as well. I see more ways to win for Parkin. I'm gonna go with Parkin. I'm gonna go on a whim and go round three knockout.
Okay. I like it. I mean, yeah, he looks like a zombie stepping in potholes every once in a while out there, you know? And so it will be interesting. Okay, let's move to the second fight of the night. Igor Severino versus Andre Lima. This should be called UFC Who? Like who are these guys? There's a lot of people on here that are kind of lesser known. Andre Lima, kind of somebody that I know, but I've never heard of this Igor kid. Jared, talk to me about this one, man. Who do you got?
Yeah, this is actually a really good matchup. Two contender series guys having their debuts. Igor, he's pretty dangerous, man, both on the feet and the ground. He's pretty quick. He's a finisher. His dude's never gone the distance. One thing that is a little concerning about him is I've seen him get rocked a lot against some lower level guys because he doesn't shy away from those wild exchanges. And I've seen him get caught in some of those. And I don't mind a guy that doesn't like a firefight, but he's fighting a guy in Lima who's a real, real sharp kickboxer. He has some pro kickboxing experience. I know he's had at least two Muay Thai fights. This dude's good on the feet, man. Like, I like what I see so far. He's the faster guy, and he's definitely more technical. I think when this fight's on the feet, he's just going to be a step ahead. So he may get tested on the ground in this fight. I think path of least resistance for Igor's got to be through the ground, but he seems like the kind of guy, he doesn't want to wrestle until he gets hit on the feet with something he doesn't like, and then he'll start shooting takedowns. Against a guy like Lima, man, I think he can control this range and he's going to look really good here. So I'm going to side with Lima to win a decision.
Okay. Yeah, Lima decision makes sense. I kind of alluded to it when I mentioned these guys. I don't know much about this. Admittedly, I got to do a little bit of tape study on these dudes. Didn't have time. But Lima is the name that I'm more familiar with. I'm going to side with him. Like you said, he's a great kickboxer. You're going decision. I'm going knockout round two. I'm going to keep it short, but I'm going to go Andre Lima knockout round two. I think he gets it done. He finishes this kid. Alex, what you got?
I'm with you guys. I'm with Lima. I like the striking. I think he's crisp. He's crispy McNuggets over here. It'll be competitive the first round, but I think he's going to get to him. The jab's going to eat him up. And I'm gonna side with my boy Ryan here. I'm gonna go with a knockout a little bit later in the fight, end of round two. And Igor gets his first loss. And here's another thing: is that when you're on your debut like this, you're kind of pushed to show up and put on a good fight too. Mm-hmm. So you know, I really don't really see too much of a wrestling game plan. I think he's coming in here to bang.
Man. I mean, Jared alluded to it right away. This is phenomenal matchmaking, man. It's cool that the UFC is putting two, like, you know, prospects with zero losses up against each other. And Tapology says that Lima is the better dude, right? Number 18 flyweight in Brazil versus the number 20 in Severino. It seems like Tapology is kind of siding with us. They're more in favor with the decision. You know, what the fuck does Tapology know? But it is interesting. Definitely kind of a more low-profile fight, but both these guys have a potential future in the UFC here. I didn't realize that Tapology did this a little different. They got the fights in the middle, so there is, in fact, 14 fights. But yeah,
they did that today. It looks horrible on the phone.
Does it?
Yeah, dude. I, like, refresh the page, and then it's all just different. I'm like, what happened to everything I know?
Do you guys go in there and actually make predictions to, like, get your belts and shit like that?
No. I do verdict, though.
It's kind of fun, dude, going in there and trying to get, like, your belts and stuff like that. I don't know. It's just kind of a fun little thing.
Do you do verdict?
I do not do verdict. No, I've never
heard. Oh, verdict's a shit, dude.
Okay. I'll look into it. Moving on, though. Interesting fight between two solid sixes we got here. I mean, these girls look like they'd be hot, but, you know, they're really not. Montserrat Rendon. You know, I love my Latinas. Not this one, though. I would actually prefer the Russian in this case with Daria Slabalabalaba. We'll just call her Daria. Interesting matchup. I think this is kind of almost a grappler versus a striker. So, you know, low level, going to be interesting. Montserrat Rendon is undefeated as of right now. She absolutely fucked one of my parlays that Alex was making fun of me of back in the day when she fought Tamaris Vidal. I thought Vidal was going to go in there and work this bitch. And Rendon goes out there and puts on a clinic somehow against Vidal. Kind of wild. But yeah, man, interesting fight there. Jared, where are you at on this first ladies fight of the night?
Yeah, I mean, for Daria, I haven't done any tape on her. But yeah, that's my understanding too. Striker versus grappler. At least Montserrat, I'm familiar with. She's like real grapple heavy, kind of a jiu-jitsu nerd, complete decision machine. Oh, yeah. So doing no tape on Daria, I'm going to tell you why I'm going with her. When you look into Montserrat's record, she has a combat jiu-jitsu match where she lost to the GOAT, Juliana Miller. As soon as I saw that was all I needed to see. I'm like, all right, I'm all set. I'm going to side with the Auto Russian striker.
The Killer Miller, dude? You don't like
Jean? Yeah, dude.
No, she's the goat in the fucking women's division.
I know, dude. She's the fucking goat, so she probably broke Montserrat, and she doesn't know what to do with herself anymore. I can't take her.
I heard that Juliana Miller used to be a stripper. Could you believe that? I mean, she looks decent right here, but dude, she's a fucking weird-looking girl when she's out there. Like, she looks like a damn alien. It's wild. Hey, this girl.
You'd be the one throwing the ones.
What's that?
You'd be throwing the ones.
Fuck no, man. She looks really weird.
Big fan of her.
No. Every time I, talk her up, it's a joke. I remember one of the first episodes we did before Jared really understood my sense of humor. I was like, dude, she's a killer. And Jared's like, are you fucking serious?
Dude, it was so, I'm like, do you really mean that, dude? Like, please tell me no.
Yeah, I'm fucking betting my mortgage on Juliana Miller. Now, for those out there that don't know, Juliana Miller is a fade always. And, you know, with this Montserrat Rendon, she, I heard someone say this earlier in the week when I was kind of like just casually listening to a couple of shows. She looks like a freak athlete. I mean, you look at her here, she's shredded. She's got solid, like, physique. She might be one of the most unathletic people in mixed martial arts. She's very slow. Her striking is shit. You're saying she's a jiu-jitsu nerd. I haven't seen that necessarily, but I haven't done a lot of tape on her. I mean, dude, if you're a jiu-jitsu nerd and you're incredibly slow on the feet, I can't bet on you. I can never have any action on you. I think that Daria with her crisp, you know, boxing, I think that this probably goes the distance. Montserrat might try to quit, but I'm going to go Daria. I'm going to go decision. Is that what you took as well, Jared? Decision for Daria?
Yeah.
Okay. So I hate just being that guy that's just always kind of doing, like, when I don't know, I'm going decision on these women's fights, but it's a stereotype for a reason. Another thing to notice, man, this girl is supposedly number one flyweight in Russia. That's got to be fairly good. Like, she's got to be decent if you're considered the number one. Obviously, this isn't very scientific. It's on fucking Tapology. But we're talking the number one in a massive country where there's got to be a pretty deep talent pool of women's flyweights in Russia versus Mexico. It has far less people, far less talent. Give me the number one Russian flyweight in Daria. And we're not going to even try that last name, but Daria Z. I think she gets it done here. Alex, where are you at, man? You agreeing with us or are we stupid?
100% agreeing with you guys. But on paper, you would have thought the Mexican would have been the girl with the hands. But I see this fight playing out where Rendon wins the early round, wins round one, just pressuring, clinch, but then gasses out. Kind of like what we see from Delgarian last week. But earlier in the fight. And then I think Daria takes over, gets a late KO, round three. Ooh. But I like the hands from Daria. And you got to think, growing up in Russia, she's probably, you know, knows her way around a wrestling as well. So, you know, if I'm gonna bet any striker, it's going to be a Russian striker, because I believe that all Russians have wrestling in their back pocket. So maybe she'll have to take that out of the old toolbox this week and keep the fight standing. But if she keeps this fight standing, I think she has a 95% win rate on the feet, 100%. And she's the rightful favorite here, you know, coming in, her debut, minus 220. That should tell you enough.
Yeah, it's interesting that she is favored, but then again, you know, what's her name? It just hasn't been impressive, man. Rendon, just not impressive. I think she should have lost that last fight. There's no reason that Vidal should have given that up. I'm actually excited to talk about this fourth fight of the night. This one is, it seems like we kind of start turning it up a little bit here after those first three kind of just, you know, whatever matches. Steven Nguyen versus Jarno Ahrens. I'll pull this up here for us. Jared, where are you at here?
This is another good matchmaking here. I definitely don't think Steve Nugent. People say Nguyen. That looks like Nugent to me.
It's pronounced Nguyen.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are nerds. I'm saying Nugent.
Have you seen, dude, on Family Guy, there's this great skit where Brian, the dog, is working at a call center, and he's calling this girl, and he's like, Mrs. Nguyen. Figure it out. And yeah, man, it's hilarious because everyone's seen that name and they're like, how the fuck do you pronounce that? But yeah, it's Wen. You can call it Nugent, whatever you said. It works.
Yeah, so I'll go with Nguyen. So Nguyen's like a real boxing heavy approach. He doesn't really throw a ton of kicks. And he's kind of had a weird route to get here. He had three contender series fights. The first one he got flatlined by a flying knee. Second one was kind of like a lackluster decision, which he didn't get a contract. And then they gave him another fight, and he knocked out that dude that Ludovic Klein just knocked out. So I don't really know how highly to rate this guy, like most contender series guys. But on the other side with Aaron's, I mean, he's 0-2 in the UFC. This is probably his last chance to show some promise, and I think he probably knows that too. And, dude, he's a tough guy. He's got some solid kickboxing. I don't really see a lot of quitting him, man. This dude's tough. I think Nguyen's going to have a tough time with him in the later rounds. He might look sharp early, but I just think Aaron's is going to start to take over at some point. And so I'm going to take the guy that mixes it up a little bit more, throws more kicks, and the guy that I haven't seen get knocked out. So give me Aaron's by decision.
Wow.
Over Nguyen.
It sounded like you were going Nguyen. I already had that written down for you. So yeah, we're going to go Aaron's for you. And you said decision. Yeah, I disagree 100%, but I'm not, you know, dead set on it. I just think that Wen is, you know, I think he's the better fighter. I have zero confidence in Aaron's. I don't think he's a very talented dude at the UFC level. I think he'd go back down to LFA, wherever the fuck he came from, and he'll do fine. Where'd he come from? Brave, NFC, all these different things. I think that's kind of where he belongs. Maybe PFL, he could probably do pretty well there. But I don't think he gets a win in the UFC. I think Wen comes in here, I think he gets a knockout. I think it could happen fairly early, but I'll go round two, round three, just to change it up a little bit. I'll go Wen knockout round three. Where are you at on this one, Alex?
I'm with Jared. I'm actually pretty impressed with Aaron's. You know, he had two close fights in the UFC versus a couple of vets. Well, against one vet, you know, Sungwoo Choi. And, you know, that William Gomez fight was super close, very close, back and forth. That was his debut. You know, I think he's finally got a favorable matchup here because he was fighting a couple guys who had wrestling in his back pocket and they used it against him. But now he's getting a little bit more of a favorable matchup against a boxer. So I do agree that he's probably not going to be looking good early. He is low volume, but I think he has the power advantage here. And I think he's going to be losing the fight until he gets that knockdown. Then everything's going to be different. And I do like his top control as well. He does have good top pressure. I'm going to go with Aaron's to get his first win in the UFC. He's overdue. I thought he was going to beat William Gomez. I have lost money on him in the past. I might be a little bit biased in this spot. But, yeah, that majority win, I had it going the other way. I thought that fight was super close, but I felt like I got robbed a little bit on that fight. But I'm going to go with Aaron's. He has a good following in the Netherlands. I think they want that market, and he puts on a show. He's fun to watch. So I'm going to go with my gut here, which is Aaron's. I do like the odds on it. Dog money against a guy in his debut, is it? Yeah. Coming off a three Dana White contender series fight.
Yeah.
And red flag for me was when Wynn fought Alon Cruz. You know, I don't rate him highly at all. I think John O'Aaron's would burn through that guy. And, yeah, I'm going to go against the favorite here. You know, classic. This spot should pay the bills. Fading the Dana White contender series favorites in their debut. Going back to the well.
Yeah, it's almost a lock bet for some people out there where if these guys are just, you know, favorites for no reason, they haven't proven anything. I just don't rate his wins very well. I mean, William Gomi, I don't think is worth a shit. I know a lot of people fucking like this guy. But if you remember, I think that this was this last fight in France when William Gomi fought this fucking pussy, Yanis Gamori. And, like, the guy kept trying to call the fight. And then the referee finally was just like, all right, you're done and you lost. We're not taking a break. This dude tried to take like four breaks in the middle of the fight. And Yanis was about to go out and just get absolutely murdered by, who was it? Vinicius Oliveira. That would have been a fucking bloodletting if that would have happened. So I don't know, man. I'm not Francis Marshall is one of William Gomez's wins too. I don't see it, man. I really don't see the talent there in Gomez. I know he's a marketable guy in France there, but yeah, give me I'll go against you guys. I'll double down. I think that Aaron's is not worth a shit, but we'll see. Okay, moving to the fifth fight of the night, Miles Johns. Everybody is going to tell you that this guy got popped for some kind of drugs and he's cheating and all this shit. It was Adderall medication, okay? Same thing as Myra Buena Silva, who went on to fight for a fucking title. So they should have actually overturned. Miles Johns should be 4-1 in his last five, not 3-1. He's taken on the very boring Cody Gibson that lost to Brad Katona pretty recently, if I'm not mistaken, right? That was his last loss? Yeah. Not a good look. I know Brad Katona is pretty good, but still, you can't have Moan Abe tattooed on your pec and then fight like a total beta. So I don't know what's up with you guys on this. Jared, go ahead. Alex, you can go. If I'm not back yet, I'm going to run and go grab myself a drink. But yeah, where are you at on this one, Jared?
I think you need to rewatch that fight is where I'm at. That was a great fight.
It was a fun fight. I'm just saying, dude, you can't go blood and guts with a fucking Canadian. You know how I hold Canadian men's MMA.
How did Dan Hilliger look last week?
Not that good. I mean, he should have dominated this dude. He barely won.
Oh, stop it. You just hate Canadians because that one card.
You hate Canadians. They're fucking soy. Go ahead.
Regardless, I think Cody Gibson's a tough dude. And like someone else on this card from that season, The Ultimate Fighter, this dude hasn't had the easy path back to the UFC. He's a well-rounded dude, and I just like the way he fights. Miles Johns, he pushes a pace. And, I mean, if he shows up like he did in his last fight, definitely got something to worry about. I think he's pretty open on the feet. He keeps that high guard. He kind of swings a little wild. I think Gibson can find some success in this fight, and I think he can get to him in the later round. So I'm going to side with Gibson to win, knockout, call it round three.
What do you think, Ryan?
So what side are you guys on?
He's on Gibson round three, knockout. I haven't given the pick yet. I want to know your take.
Well, obviously, I mean, I'm going to go. I believe I'm going to go with Miles Johns. I think that, you know, he's a solid wrestler. Obviously, I didn't hear what Jared said. I think Miles Johns is a great wrestler. He's kind of fallen in love with his hands, but he's starting to bring his wrestling back into his fighting approach. I think he just kind of outclasses Gibson here. Probably goes the distance. But, yeah, man, I'm on Miles Johns. He can finish it on the ground. He can finish it on the feet. But I think Gibson does give him enough problems to where this goes the distance, and it's probably like a 29-28 situation going on. So you said knockout what round, Jared?
Round three.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going John's decision, and I feel good about that. But where are you at, Alex?
I'm with Jared on this one again. I like Gibson. That Brad Katona fight was a banger.
It was
great. You need to watch that. That was a bangers back and forth. I was on the edge of my seat for that fight. You know, I like Gibson here. I like he's a vet. And Miles Johns hasn't really looked good as the fight goes on. He always looks good round one when they're dry, when he can get some takedowns. But watch Cody Gibson come in lubed up like all these other fighters recently, like, you know, Christian Rodriguez, like Sean O'Malley. You know, I think they're going to lube up.
Sean O'Malley wasn't lubed up.
They're going to throw some lotion on Cody Gibson, and he's going to come in here, stop some takedowns, and I think he can get a late finish as well in this case. You know, I like Cody here. I like the volume, and for some reason, Miles Johns always looks like he gets tired on me. You know, that Dan Argueta win does look good on paper. It sure does, but he's just going to be a little bit too low volume here, and I feel like there could be some situations where we get the judges, right? I feel like this is going to be a week where the judges will favor the volume over the control, if you get what I'm saying. So let's just say Miles Johns gets him in a takedown situation, gets him on his back. He's not doing anything with it. Or gets him in a clinch situation and just holding him. But Cody's throwing all the volume, landing little pitter-patter punches. I think Cody can win those rounds. And I think any close decision, any close situation, I'm gonna want Gibson with the volume. And this fight being so line close should tell me enough as well. I'm gonna go with the dog here, Cody Gibson +105. Definitely gonna be a bet this week.
Okay. Yeah, I like your guys' confidence. I'm just on the other side. I mean, I think that you make a good point though. The judges, they seem to be favoring the volume over the control. I mean, that's how it was. That's why what's his fucking name, the Midwest Choppa, loses last week. You know, I think that he dominated that fight, but judges don't care about the wrestling anymore, which I like. I think that makes for better fights when people aren't just, you know, sniffing each other's crotches. We'll see though. I think Miles Johns, like I said, he's mixed up his striking and his takedowns very well lately. So it's another good fight. Really, really well matched fight. Ricardo Ramos versus Julian Arosa. This is a fight that has no business going the distance, but I wonder if it just might somehow. Jared, where are you at on this?
Another name I pronounced differently, Ricardo Ramos against Julian Arosa.
Sure.
Dude, this is another good fight. And Arosa's a guy who's been around for a bit. I've always liked him, dude. He has a high output. He has dangerous submissions. But just off his last two fights, man, he's coming off two round one knockouts. And it's like, you know, that chin might be gone, dude. I mean, he didn't look good in either of those fights. And it kind of sucks. He might really be on a decline here. You look over. What's that?
He's been knocked out seven fucking times.
Yeah, I mean, usually when he loses, it seems to be in devastating fashion.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Ramos is a good guy to make that happen. He's a dynamic striker. He shows a lot of different looks. You know, I know Ramos has a lot of submissions, like submission wins on his record, but that's kind of like his weak point too in some grappling transitions where if he's not getting that sub, he puts himself in kind of shitty positions where, you know, a lot of the times where he's getting finished, it's by ground and pound or it's by submission. And, you know, these guys are probably going to end up scrambling at some point, and, you know, Arosa could snatch something up. I think this fight definitely doesn't go the distance. You could even look at a double method like Ramos by knockout or Arosa by sub. But put a gun to my head, I'm going to say Ramos gets the knockout and probably early too. So a nice, devastating knockout in round one.
Okay. Yeah, you can say the names however the fuck you want, Jared. The way that I heard this was, and it was broken down really well by John Anik and Kenny Florian. Anytime a Brazilian has an R at the beginning of their first or last name, it's pronounced H. Royce Gracie, Henzo Gracie, all these guys, right? But if it's in the middle of their name, it's an R, like Alex Pereira. It's not Pajeta, like a lot of fucking frauds.
Oh, no shit. That's awesome.
Yeah. So anytime there's an R at the beginning, it's H. So that was one thing that I thought was kind of cool. So yeah, I always try and pronounce their names right. Not that it.
So me. I've been right saying Pereira this whole time.
Yes.
Love it.
Yeah. I know a lot of people out there are like Pajeta. I love Alex Pajeta. He's my favorite fighter. It's like, dude, that's not how you fucking say his name. He doesn't even say his name like that. So
Casual's new favorite.
There you go. Yeah, man, I think that the safe bet here is probably just betting on the under. It's probably going to be lined at a 1.5. But I think you're okay going with the under. Julian Arosa likes to go out on his shield or send people out on their shields. I'm going to go on Ricardo Ramos. See, you got me fucking it up now. Ricardo Ramos, round one knockout as well. I'm right there with you. But where are you at on this one, Alex?
I've been back and forth on this. I'm a big fan of Juicy J. Remember when he got his second stint in the UFC and he was like a huge dog against Sean Woodson? And I said, he's going to win this fight. You know, I've done pretty good on Julian Arosa's career. This is just one of the fights where it's, you know, why isn't it lined wider? He's coming off of those two first-round knockouts, and he's still +150 dog. You know, something just doesn't feel right about this fight for me. I'm definitely going to be staying away. I do want to take Ramos. Ramos is going to be my pick. When I first looked at this fight, you know, I said, oh, you know, I do want to pick Ramos. But the line being so close is making me hesitant for some reason. I just feel like Ramos should be a bigger favorite here, which means I should bet more on Ramos. I'm sorry. Ramos.
Just to make you feel like maybe, I don't know if it'll make you feel more comfortable or not, but someone like Arosa, he should never be like a 3-1 underdog because he can go out there and he can finish anybody, but he's just, you know, I don't want to call him spazzy, but he just goes out there and just fucking throws bombs, dude. And he's got zero defense, you know? So I don't know.
Sloppy guy, but just Ramos has been, that's the word I'm looking for here, inconsistent and not as dependable. But he's the younger guy. He's probably the guy showing more improvement between each fight as well. I'm going to go with Ramos. I'm going to go with the decision, but I'm not super confident in this fight. Not super confident at all. Something's fishy about it. I know they both can get tired too, and they both can get sloppy. So I'm going to go with they all gas out by the third round, then we see a slop fest for round three, and we go to a split decision, and they're going to give it to the younger guy, Ramos. But Julian Arosa should be staying in the UFC. He puts on great fights, and I don't really see him going anywhere for a couple more years. I think they'll milk him for what he's worth. But, boy, does this fight scare me. This is one of the more unpredictable fights on the card for me, but I'll go Ramos decision.
I mean, dude, you're saying that he's inconsistent, man. He is alternating wins and losses over his last six fights. You see some grappling matches mixed in here. The dude is I mean, you can count on him to be inconsistent. So I think that you're right with that accusation there. Moving on up. Where are we at here? Miles Johns, Ricardo. Okay, this is an interesting one, too. The snake charmer in Trey Ogden. This guy has a fucking knack for getting people to fight his fight. Went out there and actually beat somebody that I think would otherwise be undefeated and probably will be for quite some time in the tall Mexican, Daniel Zellhuber. Not a very Mexican-sounding name, but he's taking on Kurt Hollibaugh. And Kurt Hollibaugh is another one of these guys that fought Brad Katona, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe not. No, I don't think so. Maybe at some point. But yeah, this is kind of a cool fight. Jared, where are you at with this?
I'm on Hollibaugh, and I actually feel pretty good about it. Even though, you know, he does kind of tend to be a slow starter. This dude, he's a finisher. He's tough, man. Like, there's another guy. He just has no quit in him. And, you know, against a guy like Trey Ogden, who he should be 2-2 in the UFC, but he's another dude that's inconsistent. And he looked really good in his last fight, but, you know, it depends on which Trey Ogden shows up. And against a guy like Hollibaugh, I don't really care which Trey Ogden shows up, because I think Hollibaugh, it's going to be a situation where he just out-toughs him. And, you know, Ogden might be doing some good work in the first round, but I think round two, Hollibaugh is going to start to take over this fight. So I'm going to say he gets him out of there in round three. Ogden does have a good ground game, but I think that just means he's willing to play jiu-jitsu. So I'm going to go with Hollibaugh to find a submission late, call it round three.
I've heard that take from some other folks out there too. I just don't agree. I think that Trey Ogden, he's found his niche. I think he's a coach somewhere. I'm not sure where. I don't know if it's a striking coach or a jiu-jitsu coach. Hopefully not a striking coach. He doesn't have the sexiest striking in the world. But yeah, man, I think that Trey Ogden's kind of one of these underrated dudes. He's one underrated veteran. I think he's going to go out there and probably, it's not going to be a sexy win. It's not going to be a fun one, but I think he gets it done. I think it's going to be by decision. He, like I said, I call him a snake charmer because he's able to lure people into fights that he wants, including Nicholas Mata, who, I mean, Mata, you saw him last time. He went out there and just obliterated this newcomer, right? So, I don't know. Ogden, just a beast. He really knows how to use that jab. I think that he goes out there. He defends the takedowns. If they go to the ground, he's not going to be outclassed. So give me Ogden by decision. I see a lot of decisions on this card. Alex, where are you at here?
What's you on the over here? I do like the over in this spot. It's just, I have a weird take on this fight where Hollibaugh is going to be winning the whole fight, the volume fight. You know, the pressure. He's going to be the one that looks like he's winning the fight, but Trey Ogden's going to have the bigger moments. Like, I could see Trey Ogden getting the knockdowns. I could see Trey Ogden landing the stronger punches that will make the crowd go, ooh, and ah. But at the overall, I do see Kurt getting more control time. I see him landing more. And this is a spot I don't want nothing to do with at all. There's a lot of question marks on this fight for me. I do like the over here. I think Kurt just gets himself into some rough spots in this fight, but the veteran in him will keep him alive and keep the fight close. I'm going to go with Kurt by decision. He was one of the underdogs that I did like on the card as well. And that Austin Hubbard finish looks really good on his resume as well. But I'm going to go with Kurt by decision. Not super confident. It's just I think this fight could go either way. This is another one of those unpredictable fights on the card for me. And I'm going to trust the veteran to survive, know what he has to do to win the judges' scorecard. And I think that pressure is going to go a long way, and as well as the volume. Even though if he gets hurt a couple times in the fight, I think he's going to push through it. And I think he can get another split decision win here.
Okay, so you got Kurt decision. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a tough fight to call. You're probably smart to stay away from it. I'm excited to talk about the rest of the fights on this card, actually. I think that this is where it actually is. This is like how a UFC card should be at the apex. A lot of those last fights that we talked about kind of sucked, but Luis Pajuelo, I think it is, versus Fernando Padilla, UFC newcomer in Pajuelo, which, this dude's fighting out of Peru, comes off the Contender Series with a knockout. Fighting the Giraffe King, dude. That's what this guy's name should be. This guy's got the longest fucking neck I've ever seen. But what do you think about this matchup, Jared?
Yeah, I don't really remember much about Pajuelo. I haven't gotten a chance to do tape on him yet. I do remember that Robbie Ring fight, a dude who's like real wrestle heavy that they were gassing up before the fight. And of course, knocked him out. Padilla, I think he's good, though. You know, he's one of the guys that devastatingly knocked out Julian Urosa. And he's tough. He's never been finished. He's got a height and reach advantage here. And that fight against Kyle Nelson, he was fighting a vet that just kind of, you know, fought the smarter fight against, you know, a young, aggressive dude. So I'm just going to hope that fight was a learning experience for him. And I'm just going to take Padilla here to get a KO. But I'm definitely going to have to, you know, look into Pajuelo more.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it gets confusing, huh? Padilla, Pajuelo. But Padilla losing to Kyle Nelson. Kyle Nelson's kind of like turned over a new leaf, man. He's been the underdog twice in his last two fights, and he's won both of those. So
he's fighting Bill Algeo next, and Bill Algeo's going to stomp him. I'm max bet.
Dude, I saw that.
Bet in 2 weeks. Let's go.
I saw that, and I'm right there with you. I don't know about a max bet situation because this guy just finds ways to get shit done. But yeah, he's fighting Mr. Perfect, dude.
Dropping the balance.
Yeah, it's
gonna. Oh, you can't bet him, dude. He's a Canadian guy. You're gonna break your own rule.
No, I'm not betting him. Oh,
I'm betting Bill Algeo, bro.
Kyle Nelson.
Yeah, no, I'll never bet on fucking Kyle Nelson, man. I can't bet on these guys. I can't bet on Canadians, man. There's just something about them where they're fucking horrible, dude. I don't know if you remember the last Canadian fight where not a single Canadian man won. You know what I mean? And they were match made so these fucking soy dudes could win. So it just never happened. They find ways to lose. That's why their country is going to shit even faster than the United States is. But yeah, dude, Fernando Padilla, I'm on this dude. I think that it's a buy low spot for him just because of his embarrassing loss to Kyle Nelson. I think he comes back. I think he proves a point, and I think he gets the knockout over Pajuelo, who hasn't fought at this level yet. So, yeah, give me the Mexican over the Peruvian. Give me a knockout. I think it comes in round two, though. So, similar to what Jared said, but not as early. Alex, what do you think?
I go against the grain here, guys. I did some tape on Lewis, and he's a junkyard dog. He's a pure brawler. All he does is move forward. I think Padilla has to mix it up here. This guy he's got that dog in him. He just moves forward. He throws haymakers. This is fight of the night right here. It really is. This fight screams fight of the night. If I could bet on it, and I wish I could bet on this to be fight of the night because it's on the main card for a reason. This is going to be a scrap. And I like the junkyard dog here, you know. Why is he such a small underdog? Padilla, he's the vet here in this situation, but You know, I feel like a lot of people are going to fade him too after that Kyle Nelson loss. It does look bad on his resume. I guess anyone losing to Kyle Nelson, it looks bad on your resume. But I'm going to go with Lewis. I like the pressure. I think he's going to tire out later in the fight as well. I think the round three, he's going to be a little bit gassed because he does pour it all out into the first two rounds. But please do some tape on Lewis. This guy is a killer. And I just think he's going to overwhelm Padilla, especially early. And he's going to do so much damage that Padilla's not going to be able to get a late finish. And that I think Lewis is going to win a unanimous decision here and just beat down Padilla for two rounds. And he's going to survive the third, but the third's going to be boring. And it's going to be sloppy because they're both beat up. But this man does not move backwards. He consistently moves forward. And I'm worried about a flying knee. I think he does duck his head a lot, but I like Lewis here. He's just that junkyard dog. He's going to be the one moving forward. He's already going to win on cage pressure, in my opinion. I'm not worried about the volume because all he does is just throw. And we're going to see both of these guys get hurt in this fight. But I think they're both durable enough to go the distance. But I like the volume, and I like the damage that Lewis is going to show. He's a junkyard dog. Please do some tape on him. He's a killer in there, and I'm a big fan of him already. I think the UFC do like him because they know this guy's going to put on a show.
You're not worried that he looks terrified in his Tapology picture?
He looks scary, man. You watch one of his fights, and you'll be like, this guy's got that. That's a killer instinct he's showing you right there. It's
yeah, it's like 1,000.
Who looks scarier, Padilla or Lewis? Padilla looks like he's in middle school in that photo. Like, come on.
I don't know. This guy looks like he's fucking scared of the photographer in Pueblo. But I don't know. We'll see, man. It's going to be interesting. A little Spanish lesson for you guys. Corazón de León. That's the heart of a lion. Trying to be like Anthony Smith, and that's never a good look. So I don't know. It's going to be fun. I don't know, man. I tend to like to side with these tough Mexicans, dude. It's probably going to go the distance. You said Pajuelo decision. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't see anybody finishing this, this Padilla character here, but I don't know, man. It's going to be fun. This is a good one, dude. Billy Q, Billy Quarantillo versus Yusuf Zalal. Yusuf Zalal coming back after some time away. Excuse me, some time away. He was kicked out of the organization. But I'm a fan, man. I don't know where you're at with this one, Jared, but I've got some thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually kind of surprised when they cut him. Like, I know he was on a three-fight skid, but I mean, you look at the guys that he was losing to, all respectable names. And then he gets cut after a draw. I really thought they were going to give him at least another fight.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's good that he's back, though. I mean, he's definitely UFC level. He is on short notice in this fight. I think that's something really to consider. I think it's like 6 or 7 days notice. And, you know, Billy Q, that's a step up for him, man. Someone that got that dog in him, I mean, that's him. He's an aggressive dude, super high output. And, you know, there's no quitting this guy. I mean, you're going to really have to put him out to get him out of there. On a full camp, I think this fight would probably play out a little closer, but I feel I just wouldn't be confident taking Zalal coming back to the UFC on short notice against a guy that I think is highly of as Billy Q on the feet. I mean, maybe there's a path to victory on the ground, but I can't take Zalal here just being cut and coming back. I think the only reason he's coming back is because they had to fill a spot, but I think he will show that he belongs here. So I'm going to say this fight goes a distance, Billy Q by decision.
Yeah. I mean, that seems like what a lot of people are on. And I have a controversial take here, man. I don't think Billy Q is that good. Now hear me out. What's his best win? What's his best UFC win here? He hasn't really the grip. Who's that?
I was going to say that Anthony Hernandez fight was fucking wild.
That's his best win.
And that's not a very good win. Anthony
got robbed against Burgos. And I have Burgos in that fight. He got robbed against Burgos. I give him that too.
Okay. Gabriel Benitez. I mean, whatever. Obviously the dude's a legend and whatnot, but not, I don't hold him in that high regard. Did beat Kyle Nelson. I don't know, man. I just don't see the great wins. Jacob Kilburn, who the fuck is that?
All right, let me give you a little rebuttal. Who's Zalal's best win? Two of the three guys he beat in the UFC were cut.
Right. But this is why
That's when it's Julian Rosa.
I think he's an underdog, right? I'm there with you. Yeah, he hasn't beaten anybody great. But look who he's fighting. He's fighting the higher level of competition, dude. Ilia fucking
Oh,
Topuria.
absolutely.
You know, Zalal is a fucking problem. The issue here, and you said it right away, Jared, where Billy Q, he's a dog, and the reason that he's a dog is because he's a fucking freak when it comes to cardio. He kind of fucks around for the first two rounds, it seems like, and then just turns it up in the third round. Zalal, if he's not heavily conditioned, he's gonna come in and you know, he's gonna fade quick. My hope is that since he's from Morocco, I would assume that he's probably Muslim and therefore probably doesn't drink. That does wonders for someone's cardio when you don't drink. I don't know though if he, I can't prove that. That's just kind of what I'm hoping here. But I think Zalal wants to make a statement. I think that he comes back and I think that he wants to show the UFC that he belongs. And I think that he comes out here and he just dominates Billy Q. I've never bet on Billy Q. I don't, I even bet on Damon Jackson, and Damon Jackson was fucking working him until he got tired, dude. And Damon Jackson is not a fucking good fighter. So if you go back and watch that fight, you'll see the same thing. I see you making a face, Alex. Watch that fight and tell me that Damon Jackson wasn't winning until he lost. So it's just, it's one of those things, man. I'm on Zalal. I think he gets it done probably by decision again, but I think it's like a dominant 30-27.
I'm with you on this, Ryan. I'm with you. I've been back and forth on this fight. I said short notice. Why is the line so small? They see a path to victory for Zalal, and I do too, because he can mix it up. I think he can. I really like to bet the over on this fight because I like both of their durability. I trust Zalal's durability more than I trust Billy Q's. So, I think, and I love betting these fighters when they get a second chance in the UFC because they're even more hungry to prove themselves. I use Julian Rosa as like one of my biggest examples of that, but they have a little bit more fuel to their fire when the UFC calls them back and they go, "Oh, all right, you wanted to cut me? Cut me after I win this fight." You know what I mean? So I do like Zalal here. I've been back and forth this whole time. I know Billy Q is going to be a very popular pick this week. I know it, and I know that line's just going to get even better and better, in my opinion. I think Zalal can win a decision here. I think he can mix it up. I think he can wrestle. I think he can win in the clinch. And, he could wet blanket Billy Q for a little while. I
He's
think on the
actually.
feet, we're going to get out-volumed a little bit by Billy Q, and I'm very scared of that. But, I like the younger guy here. We got the reach advantage. So I'm gonna go with Zalal by decision. I'm not super confident. We could even see him get one of those rare finishes of him. I wouldn't be shocked if I see Zalal, finish Billy Q in this spot. But man, I am not rushing to the sports book to bet this. It's just this fight is another one of those fishy fights on the card, and I feel like I'm gonna fade the public here. I'm gonna go with Zalal, split decision. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that Billy Q is 35 and at featherweight, this is when it seems like these guys start kind of falling off a little bit, right? So we'll see. I mean, there was another one, another fight earlier where I think you guys both picked the older fighter by about 7 or 8 years, you know, 30 something to 20 something to age difference, and I tend to like to choose the younger fighters there. So cool. Yeah, it seems like we're all kind of agreeing this goes long, it sounds like. All right, dude. Solid fight. Couple prospects. I love this matchup. I think this is probably fight of the night. You mentioned another fight that was fight of the night. I think this might be it, man. Peyton Talbot versus Cameron Simon. Never been a fan of Simon, but I don't know where to go here 100%. Where are you at with this, Jared?
This is a great matchmaking again. It's prospect versus prospect. I mean, this is probably going to play out to be a pretty close fight. Talbot, being a little bit taller, a little bit longer, he's a dynamic striker, man. He shows a lot of different angles on the feet. He kind of is an expect the unexpected kind of guy. Simon's super well-rounded. He's got good boxing. This is an awesome fight. If we get in grappling. These guys are going to be scrambling all over the place. I mean, on the feet, it's probably going to be close. Maybe Talbot has the bigger moments. But I'm on the Talbot side here. I think it's going to be a hard-fought victory, but I think he's going to win a decision. And the I don't know, one thing I've always felt about Simon is, like, I feel like this dude should be a flyweight. Like, he just looks small. Like, he just looks a little too small for bantamweight. I think flyweight, he'd probably kill it, but I just I don't see it for him in this match.
Yeah, he's not fast enough, though. I think if he went down to flyweight, he would just be absolutely, like, outclassed as far as speed goes. I've never liked the guy, man. I watched his contender fight. I've seen every one of his UFC fights, including his contender series fights. And he was doing this weird. He fought this guy, Josh Wong Kim, who I'm not going to act like I know who that was. But this dude, this Kim guy had this guy against the cage, and Cameron Simon looked at his corner and he looked like he was about to cry, literally. And he started slapping his ribs. He wasn't punching. He was slapping the guy's ribs while he was looking at the corner. And he was just like, is this what I should do? And I mean, he looked like such a pussy. And he's gone on to actually do well in the UFC, but I've never fucking bet on him, man. Including in that C-Rod fight. I've just never bet on this guy. I'm not a fan. I like Dricus, the same camp, but for some reason, man, I can't stand this dude. He kicked, who was it that he kicked in the nuts 17,000 times? Steven Koslow. This dude was just giving this guy, feeding him nut shots. And I mean, they should have taken a point or two away from him in that fight, and they didn't. And even afterwards, he's like, I swear I'm not a dirty fighter. Those were accidents. All 30 fucking nut shots were accidents. It's wild. So I'm not a fan of that dude. I think Peyton Talbot knocks this kid out. I think it comes late, though, because I will give him credit for his chin. He's young enough to where he doesn't get knocked out early. Give me the Talbot knockout round three. Where you at, Alex?
I'm with you guys. I was also thinking this is the first fight where Cameron gets finished as well. But, you know, we shouldn't overlook that C-Rod fight, because look how C-Rod fought this week. You know, we don't really want to overrate that loss for Cameron. He did look good before then. But I like Peyton being bigger. He is the rightful bantamweight in this fight as well. I agree with Jared. Whenever I see Simon fight, I'm like, this guy should be a flyweight. You know, he does look a little bit small. He's kind of got the Chase Hooper vibe going, where he looks like he hasn't filled in all the way. But let's not forget, this guy trains with the
middleweight champ.
The middleweight champion of the world in DDP. So, you know, working with him, he's going to show fast improvement, especially being so young. And we know how these guys who are this young, after they get their first loss, they usually go right back to the drawing board and work on the improvement. This is a fight I'm not rushing to bet. I do like the over here, over 1.5. I do not want to take it further than that, because I think Peyton is very live for a knockout. You know, Cameron did get beat up against C-Rod before, and now he's fighting a guy who's even hits harder, in my opinion, and known for knocking people out. I've been back and forth with this fight, because why is the line so low? You know, you're fighting a big prospect in Talbot. They clearly see a path of victory for Simon here, which is wrestling. Mm-hmm. And he could easily do that. You know, we could just easily see Talbot just get held for 3 rounds, just like, you know, Delgarian was doing a C-Rod. I'm very worried that we see that type of fight in this situation, where just Peyton just gets held and wet blanketed for 3 rounds, and the judges have no way to rob the fight from him because there was no volume to compete. I'm scared of this fight. There's a lot of question marks here. You know, I think it is great matchmaking, in my opinion. Great matchmaking. But my gut is telling me this is going to be one of the first fights where Cameron gets finished. I do like Talbot, and I think anything super close, they're going to give it to Talbot as well. And, yeah, I'm going to go with Talbot round three knockout. I'm not super confident on it, but and I'm shocked to see all these Tabology picks picking Simon. You know, I thought that Talbot would have been the super popular pick of the week. But I know a ton of casuals is going to be betting him. I did see that line going even higher. But I guess Simon's kept a little bit of his
stop.
A little bit of community. Because, you know, that loss to C-Rod really doesn't even look that bad, especially after last week's robbery.
Yeah, it's not a bad loss at all. It's just there's something about the guy where he looks like a nerd. You know, you guys are talking about how he hasn't filled out. He doesn't look like a fighter. You know what I mean? Talbot looks like he's a fighter. And similar to Chase Hooper, it's hard for me always to get to the window with Chase Hooper. He just doesn't look like a fighter, man. These guys, they're kind of goofy little nerdy looking kids, but they can throw hands, man. So I don't know. Maybe we're falling into the trap of picking Peyton Talbot, but I think he is the more appealing prospect, especially now that Simon's shiny zero has gone away. He's lost now. The UFC tends to be pretty cruel to these guys after they lose. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I'm on Talbot hard, and I believe in it. I'm starting to really like the bets where it like starts round two. Like if you pick a fight like this to start round two, I think those bets are nice, man. They're usually wide line.
Gonna be way too juiced. It's gonna be like minus 550, 600 in this fight, in my
Right, but if you
opinion.
throw down a couple hundred bucks, you know what I mean? Like something that we know it's gonna happen.
You gotta find other legs for it.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, I just like those ones where it's like a guarantee. That's how betting should be done more often. People try and do these fucking $5 into, 15 leg parlays and shit, and those never hit, but it looks sexy where it's
Well,
like,
look at me. I parlayed Kennedy last week with Mike Davis. Didn't even get even money, and I still lost. You know, you find those spots, you beat the live movement, you put your money in the right spot, and you'll still lose.
that's what I mean, dude. I had Mike Davis parlayed up with fucking Brian Battle. That was a nightmare. So yeah, it was rough. Okay, let's move into the featured fight of the evening: Edmund Shahbazyan versus AJ Dobson. I might have another hot take on this one, but Jared, you're up.
Yeah, I'm all on Shabazi in here, man. I've always thought pretty highly of him. His four losses in the UFC, you know, he's lost four of his last five fights. Those four losses, they're all the respectable guys. And, you know, he's at Extreme Couture. He's good, man. I like everything about him on the feet. He's a young dude with real high level experience. And, you know, against the older guy here and AJ Dobson, I mean, I don't know. I haven't been too high on him, though he has shown some durability. I don't know. I see the path for him here is probably through the wrestling, but even that, Shabazzian has some underrated jiu-jitsu. So I feel like the UFC is hooking Shabazzian up here after some tough fights. So I'm all on Shabazzian here, and might be a little bit of a sleeper bet, but I'm going to say Shabazzian by submission, round three.
Okay. I don't hate it. I'm going to be on AJ Dobson, and the only reason, I mean, he's a good fighter. I think he's durable, like you said. He is a Mark Coleman fighter, and Mark Coleman really been going through it lately, man. This dude, I don't know if you heard about his whole thing with his daughter.
Yeah. No, I know. I had that thought too, but I'm leaving all the outside shit out of it and just looking at how these two guys fight.
Sure. I mean, it
I
makes sense.
totally get it though.
Yeah, dude, I think he's gonna go in there and he's gonna really be thinking of Mark Coleman and Hammer, dude. Rest in peace, Hammer. Fucking gets me, man, when dogs die like that, dude. It's fucking so sad. I love dogs. I got four dogs myself. So I think Dobson's gonna come out here. He's gonna try and perform and dedicate this whole performance to, Mark Coleman and his family and his dog and all that stuff. And I think he gets it done, man. Edmund Shahbazyan, good fighter, but dude, he's I don't know, man. This dude doesn't look like he's like deformed. Have you seen his fucking rib cage? This guy has like the most wild rib cage I've ever seen. I don't know if that's like a genetic mutation or what's going on with this guy, but something's up. I don't think he's like a born athlete. I think AJ Dobson kind of is. You're right though, Jared. This guy's striking is great, but I just don't see it. I'm not a Shahbazyan fan, and maybe I'm betting a little bit too much with my heart here, but I think AJ Dobson gets this done probably again by decision. Alex, what you got?
With Jared here, I think the sub comes early for Edmund. I think he has fought the better competition. I think the way that Dobson wins is by clipping the chin, which he easily could do. You know, a good bet on this fight would be, you know, a double method, because I think Dobson's a little bit more durable in the chin department. So you could go like Edmund by sub or decision, and then take the AJ Dobson by KO as a double method. But I think Dobson's only path to victory here is a knockout. And with that being said, at plus 150, that's not something I take. The only way I would bet Dobson is purely on the prop side at knockout, which would probably be good odds, probably around 250. Yeah. You know, take a look at that for you guys. Dobson by KO is plus 550.
Ooh.
You know, so that's actually pretty juicy. If I had to take a little punt on that, or anyone to take a little punt on that, wouldn't be mad at you. That's the way he's going to win, in my opinion. I'd be shocked to see Dobson win on points. I'd be shocked if Dobson gets a sub here. But I guess he could get a club and sub, you know. But I'm all over Edmund here. He's fought the better guys, and he always looks good round one. It's not often he's losing in round one. So I'm going to take Edmund to get the finish in round one. I'm going to lean the submission. And, yeah, I'm not super confident on this fight either. Not rushing to the sports book to bet it. And I think this will be a good one to watch. You know, Edmund always puts on a good show too.
Sweet. All right, co-main. Carl Williams kind of got fucked over here. He was supposed to fight Junior Taffa, who turns out he sucks ass. And Justin Taffa is not that bad. Never been taken down in the UFC. Those stats are a little warped because those guys that try to take him down are not very efficient with their takedowns. But yeah, Carl Williams and a big time wrestler versus Justin Taffa, who is exclusively striking. He's one of these Samoan dudes. He looks like he's melting when he's standing out there, just, you know, made of pure jello. But the guy can hit, dude. This guy's freaking powerful. Bad man Taffa. What do you got with this one, Jared?
Yeah, I mean, this is one that I'm really not going to put a ton of thought into. Just Taffa's, you know, round one or bust. I mean, sorry, not round one or bust, but KO or bust. And, you know, Williams, Duke, and wrestle. And, like, you just nailed it. I know Taffa, with that 100% takedown defense, no one that's tried to take him down is very good at taking people down. So I think Williams is just going to be spamming takedowns from the opening bell. And I wouldn't risk it on the feet with Taffa for too long. So side with Williams, buy wrestle fuck. And I'm going to say this fight somehow goes 15 minutes and he wins the decision.
You learned your lesson from Tai Tuivasa, huh? These fat Samoans that just cannot do anything but throw a bomb. Yeah, you can't bet on these guys anymore, man. I'm right there with you. I don't know if it goes the distance, though. I think what happens here is Carl Williams gets a takedown eventually. I don't know if it's his first attempt, his 20th attempt, or whatever. But I think all it takes is one, and then he probably ground and pounds this dude or submits him on the ground. I'm going to go ground and pound. I'm going to go knockout round one, Carl Williams. And I think that just makes all the sense in the world. I see you nodding your head, Alex. Where are you at with this one?
Yeah, 100%. I think this is going to be Carl Williams' first finish in the UFC. I wasn't impressed with his fight against Chase Sherman. You know, I felt like he got a little sloppy in there. He got a little tired. And I really wasn't impressed. I think the longer this fight goes, the more I'm going to be sweating that Taff is going to have more time on the feet to crack him. You know, this guy's the second coming of Mark Hunt, you know, and it's like Mark Hunt resurrected. And, you know, if you give this guy more time on the feet, I just feel like he's going to have more opportunities to crack Williams. And Taff is the bigger dude here as well. So taking him down more often, if you let this man get up, you're going to get tired taking him down again. But I think that if Carl gets him down, he'll have plenty of opportunities to finish. I think that he's going to get in mount position and get a TKO stoppage, help from the ref. Because I think Dustin is very tough, and I think he's just going to get stuck in a position where he's just trapped there for a minute eating a lot of punches, and the ref's going to warn him. And he's not going to show that he can get up anytime soon, and he's going to get a little stoppage. But there's something fishy about this fight where if Carl just can't get those takedowns, man, if there's no way I can see him winning on the feet against Taffa, which just means he has one path to victory. They both each have a single path to victory here. And I'm just worried that, you know, if Carl can't take down this guy who's cutting weight to 265, he might come in at 280, 290 for all we know. He's definitely cutting weight to 265. And I just feel like if he doesn't get him out of there in round one after spamming all those takedowns, he's going to be tired, and he might not have any more gas to get Justin Taffa down. So, you know, this is another fight I'm going to be staying away from. I do like Carl Williams. He is good. I think he's a good prospect as well. But I don't think either of these guys are going to be touching gold in the UFC. It is a little bit low heavyweight. And I'm kind of embarrassed that this is the co-main event. You know, I think we could have had Talbot be the co-main with Simon. You know, we could have picked a better co-main event for this card. This is more of like a prelim fight for me. But there's a reason it's a co-main, because they think there's going to be fireworks here. I do see a finish here. So I guess I like the under 2.5 here, which is probably juicy.
It's probably set at 1.5, to be honest.
It is probably set at 1.5.
You know, who do you think the UFC is trying to build here? Why would this be in the co-main slot? Because the UFC is trying to build one of these guys, and in my opinion, it's not Taffa.
Yeah, no distance is minus 240, so they see a finish here. But Taffa, he always puts on a show, man. He flatlines people, and that's what people want to see. People want to see violence. You know, just like one championship, they have a better finish rate for all their fights, and that's why they have a better product at the end of the day. They want to see violence, and this is one of the fights where I think the fans get what they want, which is violence. So I'm going to take the no distance. That's going to be a bet of mine. But as far as a side, am I going to hate you if you take Taffa by KO? No. Am I going to hate you if you take Carl Williams on that money line as a parlay piece? No. But it's just something's fishy here. It just doesn't work right with me. Taffa by KO is plus 185. So, I mean,
that's not worth it.
Yeah, it's not even worth adding the prop to it, you know, because I guess he could win a decision if Carl doesn't get no takedowns. But I hate this fight. And I don't think it should be the co-main spot as well.
I agree with that. But you said Williams by what method? Are you going knockout round one?
Yeah, I'm going to go knockout round one. He gets a takedown, TKO, ref helps.
Okay. Yeah, man. Bad choice for a co-main. But if you want a bad choice for any fight, I will take this bad co-main and I will raise you a bad main event. Amanda Ribas versus the most emotional person in the UFC in Rose Namajunas, you know, victim of pedophilia with her coach. What's that coach's name?
Pat Barry.
Yeah, Pat Barry. I mean, that dude's what a fucking freaking, like, dude, absolute creep that dude is. So yeah, we got a groomed person here, you know, our coach is a fucking groomer. So we'll see what happens with this, man. Strange choice. I don't understand what the UFC is trying to do right here. I know that they love Rose, but I'm curious what you think about this fight. First of all, Jared.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird one. I mean, I could really care less who wins.
You're invested.
I mean, you got to respect Rose's career, but man, yeah, she's fucking nuts. So, like, I feel like you don't know which Rose is coming in there. I mean, we've seen her look great in the past, and then we've also seen her not show up at times.
Dude, you've seen this girl head kick Zhang Weili and then stare at Carla Esparza. Wild.
Rigged.
Yeah, it's
rigged.
Yeah, sure.
Bitch off.
I could see that. But
yeah, this is a weird one, dude. But five rounds definitely helps Rose's case here. You know, cardio is probably one of her best weapons. Ribas, I mean, she is fairly high volume, but I mean, she's hitting air a lot of the time. She seems to overwhelm girls, but these girls are girls that are outside of the top 10 usually. And, you know, the one thing that I hear getting people on Ribas is Rose is moving up to, or was her last fight, she moved up to flyweight against Benon, and here she is again at flyweight. I mean, Ribas, she's not a true flyweight. She floats between 115 and 125 a lot. So, I wouldn't put too much thought into that, you know, Rose at 125 thing, because Ribas is a 115er herself, which Rose is the champ of that division. I don't know. Weird fight. I respect Rose's career too much to go against her here. So I'm going to say she finds a late submission. Call it round four.
I like that. That's an interesting one. Submitting the BJJ player here. That's nice. And it is Ribas. It's Amanda Ribas, right? That R at the beginning. Amanda Ribas. I'm with you on this, dude. I just think that I think Rose finds a knockout, dude. I don't think that Amanda Ribas is very good, to be honest. She's good when she's fighting lower level competition. She's very fucking attractive. So I think that maybe that's kind of what the UFC's going for here, is that they're trying to build Rose back up in a new division by, you know, off this girl's name. She's gotten a lot of fans lately, right? She's got, and most of them are dudes, and they're liking her for all the wrong reasons, because she's not very good. She got knocked out by Macy Barber. She came back pretty strong against Luana Pinheiro, who's not very good. But I think that Ribas is chinny. She's been knocked out how many times? Two or three, I think. Yeah, three knockout losses, one in the first round and then two in the second round. I think that we see the same thing, but I think it probably happens in round three or four. Gun in the head, give me Rose Namajunas knockout round three. Where are you at on this one, Alex?
I'm with you, but this is the number one fight on the card. If it was rigged, it would be this fight, because one of these fighters has rigged a fight in the past, and I faded her ever since, which was that Carla Esparza title fight. Someone went up to Rose and said, I'm going to give you a fat chunk of cash. Don't throw any punches. And she said, no problem, daddy. I'll do that for you. No, no questions about it. Keep that money coming. And it's just, I don't trust her here, because she's thrown fights in the past and lost me money. And all I did was bet against her after, and it put money in my pocket. You know, a lot of people think that Manon fight was controversial because she broke her hand. And they thought, a lot of people were saying that Rose won that fight, which she did not. But she's got a favorable matchup here. And the pick, if she didn't rig fights, I would be betting Rose by knockout or at least finish here. She should finish Ribas. Round one, round two, whatever, however which way you want it. But it's just after seeing her rig a fight, man, it's so hard to put your hard-earned money on a fighter like that when her and Pat Barry are laughing their way to the bank after, and Dana White's sitting there with a smirk on his face, nodding to Carla Esparza like, yeah, you got the decision, don't worry. Don't worry, you got it. I just have a, I'll never forgive her for that. And, you know, we've had some rig fights in the past few weeks, and I'm just seeing red flags all over this fight. Why would they match this up? But I like your take on, they want to build her up for this new division. I do like that take. You know, she seems like she could grow into a good gatekeeper contender spot here. So I'm going to go back to the well. I'm going to take Rose Namajunas by KO. I'm going to do round two. Actually, no, I'm going to go round one. I'm going to make it quick.
Okay.
I'm going to go round one because I know Ribas is a slow starter. And I'm just not running to the book to bet this. If I were going to bet it, it'd be a small prop on a round robin. You know, and I don't like the over-under in this fight. It's just, I can't stand Rose Namajunas after she rigged a fight against me and cost me a ton of money.
And, yeah, I don't agree either. But you also got to think about this, dude. How much have you ever seen Amanda Ribas in a fight where she's not bleeding? Right?
That's why, yeah, you're right. You're right. But, you know, this is one of, I should bring up Harry from Pro Schmo Bets. This is his, comeback pick of the month. He's got this parlayed with Lupita against Virna Jandiroba, and I think this is the safer half of the parlay. I don't like that Lupita pick at all. I don't know what you guys think of that, but I think Virna Jandiroba could easily win that fight as well. But, you know, I think Rose isn't a bad parlay piece here. If she's coming in 100% fighting and not getting paid by Dana White on the back end, she's gonna win this fight easy. It's just, you know, I hate those unknowns, and once I see a fighter rig a fight once, they're on the no bet list for me for life.
Yeah, it makes sense, man. And then you know, if she's rigging one fight, she could rig this if the UFC wants this girl who's getting a lot of new attention because of her looks. She could go in there, fucking lose to this girl that's, I really don't think she's very talented in Ribas. She's a decent grappler and whatnot, but yeah, I mean, there's endless possibilities with all this stuff. You could say that about every fight, man. I remember when I was talking about fights potentially being rigged with some other friends, they were like, no one would rig their fights because these guys are proud. It's like, man, your pride will be put aside if there's a couple zeros involved.
Exactly. They fight for money in the first place. You think they'd be fighting for no money? They wouldn't be fighting at all. They'd be doing something else for a living.
You're right. So, and obviously you're a bit of a conspiracy head like myself. So, I mean, we can see this, but some people just can't understand that. So, yeah, man, it's definitely going to be interesting. We're all on the Rose side here. We're all on the Williams side before that. So, I mean, you know, the co-main and main could get a little dicey. But we'll see, man. Weird card, but a lot of good matches. A lot of good matchmaking. I love not seeing a single line that is fucking minus 700. That's really cool. So, yeah, it'll be nice to see some close matchups. I think potentially a lot of dogs cash on this card. Going to be a really good week, I think, for fantasy. Have you fucked with fantasy yet, Alex? You got to try it, dude. Throw down $20. Just pick up a couple lineups.
I hit every fight, I'm going to be like, I could have won so much more if I was just gambling like a true degenerate.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, man. Dude, you can go in there. You can throw down $5, win $10,000 if you place first place. It's hard. I've only won one competition out of like the hundreds that I've done. But it's a blast, dude. I'll get, you know, top 10, top 20. I know Jared, his first fucking one, he got like top 20, right? So it's cool, man. It's a fun little thing.
Come on, guys. Give me the bets to get out the mush from last week. Give me some plays. Jared, give me the whale.
Gotcha. The whale.
The whale this week is Talbot and Shabazzian.
Interesting.
Plus 150. And then the steamer is, it's a three-teamer. It's Lima, Gibson, and Hallabout, plus 720.
Lima, Gibson, Hallabout. That's only 320?
720.
Oh, 720. Yeah, that's juicy, baby. That's a juicy one.
I don't have any side bets on this. Myself, kind of pissed off last week. Jared and myself, we both missed a couple of nice big bets, man. So that kind of crushed me a little bit, but it happens, man. So I don't know, Alex, do you have anything that you wanted to throw down on this extra?
Yeah. You know, it's been one of those cards where it's tough to find a spot, but I'm just going to give you one dog play. I'm going to go with Luis Pajelo, money line, plus 130 and coming down. Spiked up to plus 150. It's coming down. It's sitting at 130. I'm going to take that.
Okay. Yeah, I like it. I like a lot of these ones that we all agreed on. The Lima pick, I think, is nice. It might not be crazy to parlay up like Lima, Daria, Padilla, maybe Padilla. I know you're on Pajuelo, but, you know, Williams and Rose. That four or five legger might be kind of nice, but I'm going to play around with this. It's going to be kind of a tricky card. I'm going to probably be pretty low volume on this just because I don't want to fucking lose more than I did last weekend. So, yeah, it is what it is, man. Should be a fun card. Plug anything that you guys want to plug before we get out of here. Jared?
Deep Picks, Instagram. That's it.
Fuck yeah. Alex?
Profit Picks on YouTube. Shout out to Harry with Promotional Bets. Shout out to Jared with the whale bet. He better hit that whale bet for me this week because I lost some bread last week. But
yeah, I hear about the losers more than I hear about the winners.
Oh, shut up. I gave you so much love for that winner. And I knew. I bet heavy on the one 2 weeks ago. But last week, I only bet like a couple hundred on the Corey McKenna side. But I should have came on for that podcast because I thought probably would have talked you guys into a Morin because I went against my gut on that one.
I was on a Morin. I picked McKenna, but I went against it last minute. That's why I really do want to do like a follow-up episode on Fridays if we have time just because – there's a lot of changes, you know, especially as
interviews are big. Recommend you guys watch the interviews. And, you know, the weigh-ins always have some good information every once in a while, whether it's injuries, who looks like shit on the scales, who comes in first, who comes in last is always good information. And it all adds up. You know, this is a game of information. And the more that we get, the more we can make a educated bet.
You guys were in such denial with Cheeto. He came in fucking dead last in the weigh-ins and looked like dog shit. And you guys are still like, this dude's going to fucking kill this guy.
And no, I was the only one who said that, all right?
I think you're saying you and Harry.
He was lubed up.
You're crazy. You guys doing everything you can.
Cheeto didn't attempt a single take.
He limped out of there. If that was five more rounds, Cheeto was going to get to him.
Sure.
Body shot. Come on, guys. That was fight.
Yeah, no, I get it. And I actually lost a lot of respect for Cheeto because of how he handled that loss, dude. Like, I like the guy. Like, I actually did genuinely like him. But, like, how he's still talking shit. And it's like, dude, you got 50-44, brother. You got to calm down. Yeah, he absolutely got dominated. He looked like he didn't even belong. And he should just kind of keep his head down and just try and work his way back up. I think he's going to lose his next few fights, dude. I think that's going to be like a Dan Hooker, Dustin Poirier fight. And he's Dan Hooker in this scenario where he just goes straight downhill after this, man. That dude definitely has CTE after that. So interesting fight. We'll see what happens this week. Not the sexiest card on paper. I think we got two more weeks of, Dana's garage, as we like to call it, in the Apex. And then we get to UFC 300 and then UFC 301, some interesting developments there with Steve Ursig, the pizza delivery boy, fucking, getting up there and fighting for a title. Good for him, man. I hope that he puts on a good show. Some BKFC this weekend, Friday, early in the day, 3 p.m. Eastern. They're fighting in Bulgaria. Should be a fucking awesome card. And kind of cool, you know, if you get off work early or whatever. Got nothing to do at 3 p.m. Eastern on a Friday. Check that out because they're going to be really, really good fights. 12 different countries represented there. It's going to be pretty dope. So check it out. Other than that, Dangerous World Podcast, check out the conspiracy content. There should be some more of that coming out this week. And yeah, good luck to everybody betting. We'll see you guys next week for another Dana's Garage fight. Take it easy.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.